prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another live episode of Superhuman Radio. A couple things I want to cover. First of all, we've got some huge fun things we're going to be doing in the next couple months, November, December, and January. You know, everybody tries to get into shape or rekindles their interest in getting into shape. We're going to be giving some great stuff away. Power Block is coming back as a sponsor every single month, November, December, and January. We're going to be giving away a set of Power Block quick change dumbbells to one lucky listener each month. So you're going to want to listen for that. You'll be entering at the Superhuman Radio website. We've got some other fun things we're going to be giving away. It's the holiday season upon us. I feel like Oprah. I want to give stuff away. Unfortunately, I can't give you all cars, but we can find lots of good things to give away. And we got more coming, so just stay tuned with that. Also, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I need Facebook friends. Facebook is blocking me from adding friends on my own. They say that I'm spamming people. I don't know what the deal is. So if you are on Facebook, look for me, Carl Lenore, and friend me, and I will add you immediately. I don't care who you are. I will add you as a friend. So check that out. You know, addiction is a condition I want to say that is probably purely human. I don't know that animals get addicted. I know that thoroughbred racehorses can have some conditions that look like psychoses, but overall humans seem to have the ability to become addicted to things. And my guest today has recently written a book, and she is a New York Times bestselling author from the past, a book about bird flu that she co-authored. And her name is Pam Colleen, and we're talking about her new book, Addiction: The Hidden Epidemic. How you doing, Pam?
I'm great, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, we're all accused of having addictive personalities at one time or another. Those of us who are into fitness, you know, a lot of people will call, like, I've been referred to as a zealot by my ex-wife because I like to exercise 5 or 6 times a week. And, some would say that I'm addicted to exercise. When does an addiction really become a problem? Or is any addiction considered a negative?
Well, I think, yeah, addiction in and of itself, as the term implies, there should be some sort of negative consequence attached to it. If it hasn't got a negative consequence, then it's probably not an addiction. It's probably some sort of habit, right? So really, you know, where you cross the line with, a bad habit is that there is some sort of negative consequence. So for example, you know, I play golf, and I play with golfers who really, I think, have a lot of failing marriages because they are really truly addicted to golf. Their wives are at home, and they're basically widowed from the game of golf. They don't see their husbands ever, so these guys are golfing 7 days a week. You know, and I also see problems in their business lives where, you know, they're losing contact with a lot of clients. So I think that, yes, you know, things like golf could be an addiction when you see failing, you know, areas in their lives that are failing. And that would go with almost any sport.
But some things are subjective as being negatives and positives. Mm-hmm. So not everything is absolute when it comes to what's a negative, what's a positive. And I go back to my own life. I found fitness as a way of healing a problem that I had developed, a health issue. Mm-hmm. So my ex-wife would say, my zealot attitude about exercise cured me. I mean, I'm healthier now than I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it destroyed our marriage because she didn't come along on the journey with me. And maybe I didn't do enough to invite her on the journey. I don't know. But the bottom line is, so one could say that was an addiction because there was a negative consequence, which was the dissolution of a marriage, but then there was a positive consequence, which was I'm healthy.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It can be very subjective. It's just, I see in my, you know, when I do hair tissue mineral analysis in people who over-exercise, and I'm not suggesting you're over-exercising, it depends on the intensity of the exercise. One can exercise and do, for example, weights or, you know, stretching, Pilates, yoga, and really not do a lot of damage to the adrenal glands. I focus a lot on the adrenal glands. But if somebody's doing intense exercises, they're, you know, running marathons, they're doing a lot of cardiovascular exercise, that can really have a negative impact on the adrenal glands. And when I do hair tissue mineral analysis in people who have done intense exercising, I see an imbalance in the sodium and potassium ratios, which really is a clear indication that they've done a lot of damage to the adrenal glands. And addiction, you know, therefore, in their mind, in their lifestyles, addiction has become, or exercise, over-exercise has become an addiction. In other words, exercise in these particular individuals is like cocaine. They cannot feel good without exercise and without really stimulating very weakened adrenal glands. So do you understand, like cocaine?
Yeah, but okay. And I'm listening to you, but now let me. I mean, I exercise very intensely. I lift very heavy weights for my age, for sure. And I train with great regularity. Now, there are down times where life gets in the way and I can't get to the gym, but overall I get to the gym at least 4 times a week and I train with great intensity. And one would say that, the intensity that I train with requires a great deal of recovery, which it does. But I don't feel good if I don't, when I wake up in the morning, I, don't feel as good as right after I exercise because, you know, the body is alive now and endorphins are flowing and all these feel good hormones are saturating the brain and I feel good. But is that an addiction? Is that a negative?
Well, it can be. Really, like what you're saying is very subjective, and I agree with you on that. It's just when I see people who are exercising and they're chronically fatigued, they have depression, so there has to be some sort of negative feeling attached to it. So, you know, if I see somebody who really can only feel good if they exercise, then I'm suspicious that the adrenals are a little weak, and then I need to look at the adrenals, give it some more support.
Would you consider it a counterbalance if I told you, but when I wake up and I'm exhausted, I don't force myself to go to the gym, even if it was a plan. There's plenty of days where I had planned to go to the gym, and I awoke, and I thought to myself, I'm just too tired, or I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, or I'm going to take off for today. So,
yeah, and that's great that you see you're in touch with your body. You need to rest. Your body's telling you to rest, so you do need to rest. We don't need all this intense exercise to be healthy. I think, yes, some exercise is important. I'm a big proponent of exercise. You know, I play tennis and I do go to the gym, but I lift weights and I do stretching and, you know, I make sure I go into the sauna for detoxification and things like that. So I do a lot of exercise. But when I had chronic fatigue, Carl, when I was really, really sick back in the 90s, I really, you know, made a huge mistake in over-exercising, not honoring the fact that the reason why I had chronic fatigue in the first place had a lot to do with the fact that my adrenals were really, really weak. And I thought very naively back in the 90s that if I really, you know, if I did a lot of intensive exercise that I would then have energy. And of course it backfired on me. When you have symptoms of like chronic fatigue or depression, you know, a lot of these symptoms, you want to exercise, but you don't want to over-exercise.
So you really have to moderate, especially those are the times where moderation is really critical for health.
Right. And you know, I mean, I have a link on my multimedia page on my website, and it's a great little, almost like a cartoon that talks about primitive man, and they touch on, you know, what we would have eaten as we were evolving. And so it gets into, you know, the kind of Paleolithic type of diet, which is ties into the Weston A. Price diet, which is what I recommend. And it talks about the sun and how we were never afraid of the sun, and the sun is so good for us, as you know. And then the third element, the third video, shows how we would have exercised as a primitive man. And we really, you know, we would go out and hunt, and of course the women mostly gathered, but the men would go out and hunt, and they would catch their kill and maybe rest for a few days. So they were on and off with exercise. They didn't do a lot of intense exercise. If they ran, they would have been running away from a predator, and they never did excessive running. They never did excessive working out in terms of cardiovascular work. So
what we're going to go into our first commercial break. What's your website?
PamKilleen.com.
And that's PamKilleen.com.
That's right.
And can people get the book there? Where do people get the book?
Actually, I do have links on my website for where to get the book. It's available now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
This book is surprising. I expected this book to focus on drug abuse and other types of clear-cut abuse. This book covers so much information that when you look at it, you go, my gosh, you know, we can potentially become, human beings can potentially become addicted to anything.
And, yes, and I'm exploring why. Why are
we
so addicted
to And that's what I want
to
talk about when we come back from the break. I have some theories. I'd like to hear some of your theories. Obviously, you're a bit deeper in the knowledge side of this, so I'm going to turn to you. But I want to talk about that. What is it that's so unique about the human condition that potentiates us to become addicted to things? We're talking with Pam Colleen. She is the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from needtobuildmuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today. Introducing SNI Global. SNI Global carries everything both the weekend warrior and serious athlete needs. Whether you're looking for pre-workout, post-workout, whey protein, mass builders, anabolic agents, performance enhancers, or energy boosters, you'll find it all at SNIGlobal.com. Want to train like a machine? Then get to SNI Global today. Check out their performance pack, loaded with over 10,000 grams of potent ingredients designed to increase energy, strength, muscle growth, and recovery. Go to SNIGlobal.com today. SNI Global, train like a machine. Hey, this is Carl. Are you tired of your current wireless service? Were you promised low rates but ended up on an antiquated system with poor coverage and slow texting? Well, now check out Lightyear Wireless, the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Lightyear Wireless banner to get the lowest rates for unlimited calls and texting on 3G and 4G networks. There's no reason to get substandard service any longer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Lightyear Wireless banner and get on board with the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio, Lightyear Wireless.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Pam Colleen. We're talking about addiction. You know, Pam, was I accurate at the beginning of the show when I said that addiction seems to be something very unique to the human condition? Or do animals? I mean, I've worked with thoroughbred racehorses, and I know that they are high strung and they can develop certain conditions that look like psychoses, like cribbing and stall walking and nervous conditions like that. But is addiction uniquely human?
No, animals in nature will seek out mood altering drugs. Absolutely. And
really?
Monkeys, elephants, all sorts of animals have been caught.
Come to think of it, I think I did see an elephant once copping heroin down in Harlem when I lived in New York.
So, the elephant in the room.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's addiction and mood disorders for you. The elephant in the room. Nobody likes to talk about that.
Right, right.
We have no choice today, and it's really simply because, you know, yes, you know, addiction is almost normal in many respects because we are pleasure seekers. Humans are pleasure seekers. We want to feel good, but what's really gone awry in the last, gosh, I don't know, since I'd say about the last 100 years at any rate, with the rise of materialism and consumerism and so on, is that we are exposed to more addictive things in general. So it makes us far more vulnerable to developing addiction. Second to that, Carl, what we've seen happen over the last 100 years is a sharp degradation in the quality of our food. So by turning away from or displacing the nutrient-dense foods that support our nervous system, we're actually eating foods now that make us feel or lead us towards feeling more depressed, more anxious, having more sleep disorders, just feeling more.
There's one specific nutrient that we know is devoid today that was in high abundance in Paleolithic eras, and that is the consumption of omega-3s in higher ratios than omega-6s and omega-9s. And we know that omega-3s play a profound role on the endocrine hormone levels of the brain and actually can import a sense of well-being.
Absolutely. So when we're talking, what you're talking about is the long-chain fatty acid, DHA in particular.
Yeah, right.
What you would find in things like wild fish and pastured animals. And that's what you really need to support your synapses in your brain, which has a lot to do with your communication, you know, feeling, how your neurotransmitters communicate and how you feel, how you act, even your movements. And so, you know, that fatty acid is just so crucial to our brains.
And we don't get enough of it today compared to what we did. You know, I want to say that the ratios are exactly opposite. It used to be 20-1 omega-3s to omega-6s, and now it's 1-20 omega-3s to omega-6s, and that's why we have all these pro-inflammatory diseases today on top of it. But let's talk about something else. Uh-huh. You know, I have a theory, and it's not based in any proper research or even maybe supported by science, but just over the years of study and learning about so much stuff, I started to connect some dots. Mm-hmm. And I tend to believe that people who have addictive personalities are dopamine dominant type people. Because that you know, everybody says, oh, you know, I'm an adrenaline junkie, but you're not an adrenaline junkie. What you're trying to do is raise dopamine levels in the brain, because this is where pure satisfaction comes from.
Right, that's one of the pleasure neurotransmitters. That's what we're trying
And this plays into even people who are sexually addicted, because there's a delicate dance that's done in the brain between dopamine and serotonin at mm-hmm. the point that someone climaxes. That's why somebody who is using SSRIs, generally they'll lose their ability to have orgasms, because dopamine can't rise high enough, and then serotonin doesn't jump up and meet it, because the SSRIs are complicating the serotonin's action. But I mean, even people who are sexual addicts, once again, dopamine is a large component in that addiction as well. So I've come to the conclusion that dopamine.
What anybody is trying to do when they're doing addictive behaviors or substances is they're trying to lift that dopamine in the brain. And unfortunately, we just are not producing enough dopamine today. And one of the reasons why we're not producing enough dopamine, even serotonin and other feel-good neurotransmitters, is because we're over-stimulating the adrenal glands. When you're overproducing things like adrenaline and cortisol, that will interfere with your body's ability to build or fire those neurotransmitters.
Interesting.
Yes, and so it's really a very delicate dance, as you said, Carl. And the other thing we need is we need the raw materials to produce those neurotransmitters. And you know what those raw materials are better than anybody, Carl.
Amino acids.
You got it. You know, and that's from eating complete protein. That's from eating high-quality animal protein. And I think you probably saw in my book how much I emphasize returning to 3 square meals a day. And that, therefore, you know, when you eat 3 square meals a day, you should be getting probably enough protein that would equal the size of the back of your hand. And 3 times a day, that much protein, hopefully fat, you know, with the animal fats there alongside it
but it must
what you need.
Yeah, but it must be spoken when we talk about that. Having people eat large amounts of factory farm produced animal protein is a bad idea. So there's a step further. You need to eat that animal protein, but it has to be animals that have lived on a natural diet, a diet that they were designed to eat, that they were genetically predisposed to eat, like cows eat grass and, you know, wild fish and chickens that can roam and peck and eat worms as opposed to feed all day long.
That's why your show is so great, Carl, because we need a lot of people out there like yourself endorsing that type of authentic, what I call anyway, authentic agriculture. Because yes, indeed, the nutrient profiles are going to be different in an animal that's been out grass-fed or in the wild. And one of the things that, you know, I learned while researching the book is I always knew about the fatty acid profile and the nutritional superiority of an animal that's been fed grass. But what I didn't realize is even the amino acids are higher in grass-fed animals, and that's really important, especially when it comes to an amino acid like tryptophan, which is an amino acid that really has a difficult time getting up into the brain in the first place. But when you're eating factory-farmed animal foods, you know, the amount of tryptophan that's going to be in there is going to be less. And
right.
We know tryptophan is very important for building serotonin, which is one of your very important feel-good neurotransmitters. And so, yes, if you're eating grass-fed meat, you should get more tryptophan in that meat. And that's, again, you know, crucial for the brain function.
There is some media circulating on the internet right now that I spoke to the publisher this morning. There's some media circulating on the internet right now that says, you know, eating red meat leads to having a larger brain. I thought this is outstanding. So I contact Leslie Aiello. She is the president of the Werner Gren Foundation, which is an anthropological organization that is their sole purpose is to find truth through anthropology about how humans were and how we are today. And I said to her, I want to have you on my show about this study. She goes, it's so funny. She goes, we published that study in 1997, but no one wanted to pay attention to it. Now there's a renaissance coming. You know, all of a sudden people are interested in hearing this message. So we got to talking. And she's going to be on the show in 2.5 weeks when she returns to the country. But interestingly enough, they discovered grinding tools that are 30,000 years old, which implies that Paleolithic human beings had the ability to grind and maybe even make their own bread. And this is going to really turn the whole paleo.
That study was sent to me yesterday by a scientist I know.
Yeah.
So,
and her opinion is, and we're going to discuss this, is it even possible to truly eat paleo style today, given the fact that the quality of animal protein is not what it used to be?
Well,
so,
I mean,
you know, it's critical.
Yeah, but again, we wouldn't be who we are as humans, thinking and sentient beings, you know, as we are, without the animal fats, without the long-chain fatty acids, and without the complete protein. So the complete protein is crucial, and the introduction of eating grains in our diet was an adjunct to eating the animal foods, but it certainly was never, you know, eating plant-based foods really wouldn't have made us who we are. If you compare humans, for example, to primates, you know, if you look at monkeys, apes, gorillas, they didn't evolve like we did because they simply didn't increase their consumption of animal foods.
Right,
We did, yeah.
And when you look at humans that existed solely on a more vegetarian-type diet, they had larger distended stomachs because they needed larger stomachs to... because they had to eat more food in order to get the same amount of sustenance that they would from a piece of animal protein. So they had large distended stomachs, their waistlines were much bigger, and their brains were smaller because the brain suffers when you're not giving it enough amino acids and enough fats and so on and so forth. So, you know, when we started to really focus on animal protein, our brain thanked us for it, and it grew.
Absolutely, and even in the 1800s, Carl, we were known as a nation of meat eaters. We ate a lot of meat up and until, including the late 1800s. It was the early 1900s when we started to reduce our consumption of meat. And one of the reasons for that was because of the huge immigration that was taking place in the United States in the early 1900s. And what happened in the United States was that the meat industry, the cattle industry, couldn't keep up with the demand with, you know, the millions and millions of new people arriving in the United
right.
States. And so what they did, and I say this quite figuratively, is they actually started replacing wheat over meat. And
right.
So that's where you see the rise of, or the displacement of nutrient-dense foods, you know, where you start to see the rise in even things like fruits and vegetables, you know, which are okay, you know, they're fine, but you don't want to eat you know, too many of those foods simply because they're not as nutrient dense as things like meat and eggs and butter and so on. But they also just, you know, they'll throw off your blood sugar levels if you're eating too much of them.
Why are we talking, now this is the interesting thing, it's a rhetorical question, why are we talking about nutrition when your book is called Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic?
Well, I think it's really, really because in the last 30, 40 years where we've been using pharmaceutical drugs and talk therapy to deal with the rise of things like depression and addiction, it's not working, obviously, because the rates of addiction are going up in general. And, you know, we have to then look towards something else because clearly the systems that we have in place are failing. When you have people who are going into rehab to deal with very serious addictions, there they have failure rates as high as 90%, Carl.
Right, and recidivism rates as high as 100%, even if the guys who get through the program end up, they end up reabusing.
So, you know, we have to come up with, you know, we're in the 2010. What are we thinking here? We can't keep, you know, turning to systems that are only going to lead to failure. We have to then take these systems where they're, you know, especially where talk therapy is concerned. I'm not throwing talk therapy out the window here. I think it's important to use talk therapy, but we now need to use nutrition along with talk therapy to see these rates improve. And that's what I do in the book with the Alliance for Addiction Solutions. There's a group of people in the United States who are using nutrition in their recovery centers, and they have about an 80% success rate. And so we need to learn from them. And Carl, one of the most important things that your audience needs to understand is, you know, this system is not going to fix itself from the top down. The only way
you mean the government, you mean the government's not going to give us a solution?
No, nor will these recovery centers. They're, you know,
yeah, they're in the business to get you to come. Right.
You know, the more people relapse, the better their business is. Right?
I know, because so, if they really worked and they cured people, they put themselves out of business.
Exactly. So we need to fix this problem from the top, from the bottom up. And that's where, you know, that's why I thought I needed to write this book, because first of all, the masses simply don't know about these solutions and these new centers that are primarily in the United States. But, you know, people who have a loved one who is struggling with substance abuse, I mean, my goodness, my heart goes out to those families. I know what it's like. It's devastating.
And you know what? If you sat down with one of those families and said, you can help your loved one by getting their nutrition in line, they would think you were stone cold crazy. They would not, because no one believes, other than Hippocrates, who said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be food, no one believes that nutrition plays a role in the etiology of any disease today, which is baffling to me, because all you have to do is look at the changes in our nutritional styles and the rise of disease, and they parallel each other. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Pam Colleen. You can get a copy of her book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, by visiting her website, Pam Killeen, and that's KILLEEN.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. You want to train harder. You want to get stronger, then you want results. Results from At Large Nutrition combines four proven ergogenic ingredients: CreaPure creatine monohydrate, beta-alanine, beta-hydroxy beta-methylbutyrate, and dextrose. Results will dramatically increase strength, promotes blistering intensity, supports huge increases in training volume, and increase lean muscle mass. And isn't that why you train in the first place? That's why the strongest men in the world depend on results. You can find results at atlargenutrition.com. Stop complaining and get results today. Go to
atlargenutrition.com right now.
PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by bestrecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, patronize the sponsors of this show whenever possible. If you like this show, keep it on the air by patronizing the sponsors of this show. You know, Pam, not all sensory stimulating things are tangible. This is something that I have to tell you. I was thinking about it during the break, actually, and thinking about addiction. I was thinking about, you know, look, I was a drug abuser when I was young. And I understand the addictive personality. And recently, you know, when you use something, it usually imparts some sort of positive feeling, you know, whatever it is. It's whether it's a drug or caffeine or exercise or whatever. And this is one I never thought about until during the break. I've recently fallen in love with someone, and I've never really loved anybody like that before, and that makes me feel really good. Could I become addicted to that feeling?
Well, again, it depends on whether or not it's a negative in your life, whether there's some codependency involved. A lot of therapists would call codependency an addiction. And oftentimes where people are codependent, they're with somebody who has rather dysfunctional behavior patterns and can actually, you know, backfire on the individual who may be in love with them. So it starts to get pretty, you know, sensitive in some of these areas when you start to explore those avenues. But in an ideal world, of course, falling in love is very euphoric and very, very healthy.
I guess that
as
euphoric.
As long as you don't lose yourself in the relationship.
Yeah. I'm too big to lose. I'm 6'2 and 200. I'm only 212 right now. I've lost a lot of weight. Anyway, okay. So, what do you think people would find most interesting about some of the addictions that you cover in here that people probably don't think of as being addictive traits or tendencies or even qualities?
Well, and as you mentioned earlier, you know, there's some subjectivity there, and I try and be delicate when I talk about the internet because I know that the internet has a really bright side to it, and I use the internet. I try to use it in a healthy way. I try not to abuse it. You know, I certainly know to use it in moderation.
Now, are you talking about like internet porn or just being on the internet in general?
Just, you know, the abuse of media, and then now that we have internet and gaming, of course, we're seeing a huge problem in those areas. And so if you're going to use these things, the message in the book is to use them judiciously because you need real-time activities. Humans need, you know, real-time activities. We need to look at each other in the eye. We need to hug each other. We need to shake each other's hands. You know, we need to partake in activities that build communities. And unfortunately, a lot of that is being compromised today because a lot of people are wrapped up in the overuse or the abuse of things like video games and addiction, internet addiction. And so one of the interviews in the book is with a psychologist who is very, very concerned in particular about men and young boys and their draw to things like Warcraft and, you know, how where that area is concerned. Of course, a lot of men who are engaging in that activity really only feel like men in playing that game because that game validates their masculinity in many respects. And so instead of going out and young men, you know, seeking out careers or doing well in school, courting, you know, their future wife, you know, they're too busy playing these video games, and so they're neglecting an entire side to them that really helps support.
Now, when does it become an addiction? When you spend a certain number of hours a day, or that has nothing to do with it? I mean, if I play a video game an hour a day, 3 days a week, am I addicted to it?
No.
When does it become an addiction?
The psychologist I interview in the book says, you know, really when you start succeeding, it's a hard number to pick. But, you know, 3-4 hours or, you know, more than that, you start really having to worry. And, you know, if you talk to a lot of divorce lawyers, they're going to tell you that this is starting to become a problem with marriages. So, you know, people can spend too much money or too much time focused on these.
You know,
there
are people that are constantly on, like I post my show on Facebook and I answer questions. I get messages on Facebook and Facebook is a great place to interact. But I've noticed that there are people who, no matter when I sign on, they've recently posted something new. They spend so much time on these social networking sites, you know, where I can't believe that they're investing less than 3 or 4 hours a day being on the net doing that. And that's kind of more passive than playing a game, but still they're on the internet for 3 or 4 hours a day doing that.
Yeah, in many respects, it's really enlarged our world to have these types of social media. But again, I can't emphasize enough the healthfulness of being with other human beings in the same vicinity, whether you're playing tennis, you're playing golf, you're playing some soccer, you're going to community meetings, you're involved in activism. You know, a lot of these activities are very, very bonding to a community, and we need to return to a lot of that if we expect, I think, to basically save the human race. I mean, I'm concerned about the human race and what's happening, especially to our children. And so, you know, where you see, you know, I talked to a Cub Scout leader the other day, and she told me, she said, listen, she says, you can't even get these young men, these young boys involved in Cub Scouts anymore. They just want to play video games. I'm not saying that Cub Scouts is everything. And, you know,
yeah, but it's something human. It's something tactile and human. It's something where you interact with other human beings as opposed to, and you know, that's funny because I re-aired an old show not too long ago, and it was after I had taken my daughter Sydney to see the Pixar animated movie about the little robot. I can't think of its name now. Isn't that something? But anyway, the premise of the movie was, you know, it was in the future, and humans didn't walk anymore. We had these hovercrafts that we floated around on, and we didn't even look at each other. We had a screen in front of us, and the camera looked at you, and people saw you through their screen, so people didn't even look at each other. And it became this this separate but together world where we were in the same room with people, but we were separate from them because we were interacting through the screen and sitting in our hovercraft. And we didn't eat healthy anymore, so there was no need for bones since we never stood anymore. And people just morphed into these blobs who sat in these chairs and didn't interact with each other. And I think that it was really extrapolating and extending out kind of the path that we're on right now.
I agree. And I think, you know, one of the big messages I have in my book is the importance of traditional. So, you know, what we did in terms of our activities for centuries was very traditional. And our foods, we need to return to traditional foods because when we were more traditional, you know, honoring habits of our ancestors, you know, we were a lot healthier, both physically and mentally. And that's why I bring up the work of Dr. Weston A. Price, is because when he observed traditional cultures. When he looked at, you know, very remote primitive cultures, they ate nutrient-dense foods. They ate the foods that were available to them in their vicinity. They were not afraid of cholesterol. They were not afraid of animal fats. And they were robust physically and mentally. He always commented in these cultures how happy they were. And not just Dr. Weston A. Price, but another explorer that I've looked at, where I've looked at his work, Sir Robert McCarrison, he lived with the Hunzas. And he saw, like Dr. Weston A. Price saw, is that these primitive cultures also had alcohol. They also had potentially addictive substances available to them. But he never saw them abuse these substances. They would use them, but they wouldn't abuse
them. And that was probably because, I actually did a show with someone who you know, Randy Roach. I did a show just about the Hunza a couple years ago, because they're an amazing small civilization to study, because they all live to be 100 years old. They're very, very healthy and robust. They have a lacto-vegan based diet. But you know, that comes back to what we were saying before. When you're eating healthy foods, your brain functions better. You don't need the alcohol. You don't need the
right.
drugs.
You feel joy, you feel focused, you feel drive, you feel motivation. You feel all these things naturally when your biochemistry is in balance. And I tell you, when I do hair analysis on people and I see the zinc, the copper ratios are whacked out, I see the, you know, sodium and potassium levels are way off, calcium, magnesium, boy, oh boy, you know, what we're doing to our bodies today is a huge insult to our biochemistry. And because of the imbalanced or dysregulated biochemistry, it can really make people feel fatigued, feel depressed, you know, and lose focus. They don't sleep well at night. And yet all these things are fortunately easy to repair. Which is the encouraging side to my book.
I'm sorry.
No, it's just when I interviewed the people who are working with addiction in particular, these centers, when an addict shows up at these centers and they test their thyroid, they test their adrenals, they test their, you know, neurotransmitters, heavy metals, all these things, and the addict actually sees on paper how sick they are physically, boy, oh boy, then that individual is far more likely to go through rehab than not having had those tests done, because the guilt is gone, the albatross is gone, it's off their shoulders. They can actually say, what I'm feeling, what I have been feeling for all these years is physical, it's not mental.
I know a doctor in New York who runs an age management clinic who came from the addiction side of the industry. I can't think of his last name. His first name is Joel, really nice guy. But he actually treats addiction now with hormone replacement therapy. He gets men who have addictions. He gets their testosterone levels elevated. He gets their estradiol levels lowered. He brings their thyroid hormone back into proper perspective, and they don't desire the drug anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an even easier way to do that, and that is to get the minerals in balance, and that will support the thyroid and adrenals and blood sugar and so on. And that's what I do. I see remarkable changes in people when I help balance out their minerals.
I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about that. I also want to talk about two unique windows of time in the human lifespan that I believe predispose people to addiction. Okay?
Sure.
We're talking today with Pam Colleen. Her book is Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. You can get it by going to her website, PamKilleen, KILLEEN.com. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Introducing SNI Global. SNI Global carries everything both the weekend warrior and serious athlete needs. Whether you're looking for pre-workout, post-workout, whey protein, mass builders, anabolic agents, performance enhancers, or energy boosters, you'll find it all at SNIGlobal.com. Want to train like a machine? Then get to SNI Global today. Check out their performance pack, loaded with over 10,000 grams of potent ingredients designed to increase energy, strength, muscle growth, and recovery. Go to SNIGlobal.com today. SNI Global, train like a machine. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today.
Hey, this is Carl. Are you tired of your current wireless service? Were you promised low rates but ended up on an antiquated system with poor coverage and slow texting? Well, now check out Lightyear Wireless, the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Lightyear Wireless banner to get the lowest rates for unlimited calls and texting on 3G and 4G networks. There's no reason to get substandard service any longer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Lightyear Wireless banner and get on board with the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio, Lightyear Wireless.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Pam Killeen. Her book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, you can get a copy of it by visiting her website, pamkilleen.com. This book is just chock full of great information.
Thanks,
it is
Carl.
Not the book that you think it is when you hear the title. Covers such a vast amount of information about nutrition, especially, that it was surprising to me. And that's because Pam believes, like many of us do, that through nutrition we can find a lot of the answers to today's problems and disease. Hey, here's something interesting that I've learned, Pam, and I want to see what you think of this. I've noticed that as individuals go through puberty and then go through the cessation of the production of sex hormones, like andropause for men and menopause for women, the neuroendocrine landscape changes so dramatically that this is the period of time that young children will develop, psychological disorders like schizophrenia and so on and so forth. They don't onset until they start going through puberty. And you see great personality changes in men and women as they start to, as the sex hormones dwindle away, because those sex hormones modulate and attenuate, the neuroendocrine landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever see anything in the way of the period of the window of time where people can become addicted because of that puberty and cessation of sex hormones?
Because of the fluctuations that go on. Well, I think what happens mainly is really the biggest problem that we're seeing that I've noticed or you know, sort of picked up on in all the interviews I did for this book was blood sugar control. It really has a lot to do with blood sugar control. And that's why when you see the rise of our consumption in carbohydrates in general, and that includes grains, fruits, and vegetables, when you see the increase in consumption of these foods over the last, 100 years in particular, it's really disrupted our blood sugar levels. And by stressing blood sugar levels, that stresses the adrenal glands. And as you know, Carl, when, you know, those adrenal glands play a lot of roles, and one of the roles that they play is the production of our sex hormones. And so, basically, to fix any dysregulation in the sex hormones, it's very, very important to give the adrenals what they need in order to support them so that they are producing, you know, the appropriate amounts of these substances. And I think a lot of people overlook that fact, because another role that the adrenals play, of course, is the modulation, the control of our minerals and heavy metals.
Right.
And so when they're not working properly, the balance, as I mentioned earlier, the balance of the minerals basically falls off kilter. And that will influence blood sugar control. So you see this vicious cycle where, you know, you've weakened one system, which basically causes this domino effect into other systems. And that's why I work so hard with people. I mean, I'm militant with people. They've got to eat 3 square meals to regulate their blood sugar. That meal better include, you know, adequate amounts of animal fat and animal protein, not excessive amounts of carbohydrates, but some carbohydrates, you know, high quality ones. Like fruit, you know, whole fruits and vegetables, if they're eating grain.
Yeah, complex stuff.
Complex,
right.
Exactly. And then, you know, if they're eating grain, I prefer things like, you know, sourdough bread where the grain has been fermented.
Fermented, that's right. Fermentation has a great value on both dairy and on wheat products. And we know that it increases vitamin B levels. It increases the concentration of amino acids. Fermentation has been understood for thousands of years as being very valuable to us.
Right. We would never have started consuming things like grains or lentils had we not first learned about soaking and fermentation. So, you know, those foods would still be growing in the wild. We would never have eaten them because, you know, you cannot eat these foods without proper preparation. So our early scientists, of course, were our first chefs, in essence. They really had to experiment with a lot of these foods in the wild to figure out how we could eat them without becoming sick or uncomfortable. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are eating foods like even broccoli and cauliflower. Those are foods that we really shouldn't be eating raw. They should be consumed cooked,
right,
or even lacto-fermented. Because there's a lot of anti-nutrients in plant-based foods that can actually disrupt your digestion, for example.
And for people who don't understand what anti-nutrients are, they're nature's way of keeping bugs from eating those things. They're basically natural pesticides. And they actually, in large amounts, can be toxic to us as well.
Yeah, they can do things like interfere with your body's ability to absorb minerals. They can interfere with your body's ability to absorb protein. They can interfere with your adrenal gland or your thyroid gland in particular. Those goitrogens is what they're
called. Goitrogens, right.
Yeah, they're called that. So, you know, when you actually soak or ferment a lot of these grains, then you make that food far more, far safer for you to consume. So I know I'm a recovering raw food vegan, so, you know,
yeah.
I used to eat all those foods raw thinking they were so good for me, and then I realized, no, they need some preparation.
That's
a lot
right.
of these
That's
vegetables
right.
and grains, they need preparation.
What do you think the most amazing thing that you learned that was maybe shocking to you when you were doing the book that you know that was the greatest surprise to you?
One of the greatest surprises to me was that, you know, I had to learn this because I've seen a lot of people suffering and struggling with addiction, is that these people really don't know that they have addictions. I was shocked to learn that because I'd see, you know, people who are alcoholics and stumbling drunk, and you say to them, you're drunk, and they say, no, I'm not, and they believe it. They really believe that they're not drunk. They really believe that they don't have a problem. And I see this across the board with people who are struggling with almost any substance abuse, that they've damaged their brain so much that they really don't even know they have an addiction. And when you care about somebody and you confront them because you love them and you want to see them get better, and they deny it up and down, they really believe it, that they're fine.
Yeah. That's
I don't
amazing.
Know, Carl, if you've seen that, but it's
I haven't seen it to that degree. I know that there is a great deal of denial in the addictive personality, as there is also a great deal of skill in manipulating the people around you to help facilitate your addiction. But I've never seen anybody who was so far gone that they were out of touch with the fact that they were drunk or stoned, or, you know, I mean, in people that I've seen, they knew that they were doing it.
Really? Well, then they're probably not as damaged in the brain, but they still, you know, they still obviously need to be judicious about using any drug. You want to, you know, I'm not judging anybody for using drugs, by the way. I know people are going to go out there and use drugs. But what I am saying, where the danger zone is that we're using them in many cases too much and too often. And that's what's distancing us from ourselves and our spiritual lives and our, you know, emotional lives. And that's where the tragedy, in my mind anyway, really does lie. And, you know, when you look at a guy like Obama who's, you know, saying, you know, we're going to put all this money, millions or billions of dollars more into this war on drugs, when they're not even acknowledging nutrition. My goodness, I mean, they have got to start getting people to realize how damaging these drugs are and how much nutrition plays a role in fixing this problem. You know, in the United States, where you have you know, the declared war on drugs that has been around for over 30, 40 years now. Have you seen any progress, Carl?
No.
There's been basically just a degradation in the problem. That war on drugs that was declared, I think it was 71, basically was nothing more than a job creation program.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what all of these organizations, that's all they are. They become profit centers and they really fix nothing. And that's why what you said before is true. We have to fix ourselves. We have to arm ourselves with knowledge. We have to take steps, and vote with our dollars. That's the bottom line. And we have to do it ourselves. To come back to something I was talking about, you know, the feelings of love, the euphoric feelings of love. Do you think you could be addicted to a person?
Some people in the world, in the therapy world, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't work as a therapist. I basically just help people's, you know, biochemistry. So, but I did enough reading on this subject to say yes.
Like if you have sense,
that's codependency.
But is it really codependency if it's not disrupting your life? I mean, to feel like you crave someone as opposed to, but you're not doing anything bad. You're not breaking laws. You're not missing work. It's not disrupting your life. It's not a negative. And actually, it's a positive. They empower you. They make you feel like you can do things better. Or, I mean, I'm speaking from experience. They empower you. Is that a negative then? Is it an addiction?
Not necessarily, no. I there's a guy, I wish I could have written this name down. He wrote a book on obsession, because that, again, ties into addiction. You know, we can have obsessive personalities, and yes, that can be a negative, and it can obviously then be synonymous with addiction. But obsession, if it's healthy, can also be very constructive. You can get things done. You can write books. You can, you know, start activist groups.
I haven't written poetry since I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And this person has inspired me. I spit out poems now like there's nothing to them because I just have to think of her. So there's an obsession that is constructive then.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a negative, Carl.
Yeah.
If you're doing constructive things with that obsession, you know, and it's not interfering with your personal life or your business life, then I'd say it's probably perfectly healthy.
So there you go. It's official. I am addicted to something, but it's a good thing.
But
okay.
Hopefully in a good way, though.
Yes, it is. So Pam, how long has the book been available?
Basically, it just came out. There were some slowdowns in the summer because they had to fix things on the cover and such. So there were a couple of slowdowns, but it actually really just came out in early September.
Specific? I don't want to say prescriptions, but directions for people to help abandon addiction and maybe get their nutrition straightened out. Is that the focus?
One of the big concepts, anyway, that I bring up in the book is our carbohydrate addiction. And to help really alleviate carbohydrate addiction, we need to start eating more animal fats because animal fats are really what helps regulate our blood sugar. And so that, to me, is what everybody needs to do in order to prevent addiction or to add it to, you know, other therapies that they may be doing if they're really in the depth.
But it's got to be healthy animal fats. It's got to be grass-fed beef. It's got to be animals that have eaten a natural diet because it's higher in omega-3 to omega-6. Grass-fed beef has the same omega-3 to omega-6 ratio as salmon. I mean, what does that tell you? But you're right. And we have this fear of fat now. We have, you know, doctors coming out saying, oh, President Clinton is going to live forever now because they've got him on a vegan diet. The guy is going to stroke in 4 or 5 years no matter what they do. And this fear of fat is ridiculous. Just look at our ancestors. They ate lard. They cooked their bacon in lard. And they didn't have heart attacks. No one
right, and when they were hunting, they knew to throw. They didn't eat lean meat. They knew it would make them sick. So, if they had, an animal that they killed that was lean, they would actually use fat from a previous meal. They would use rendered fat and put it on the meat and eat it because they knew that lean meat made them sick.
Right, and Stefansson proved that too in the research he did, where he tried to eat lean and he actually started to develop some psychoses during the process. So it played a role on his brain. Look, we're coming to the end of the interview. People, go to Pam Killeen, PamKilleen.com. Get your copy of Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. This is really a great book, and it's got a lot of great information about nutrition. You'll love it. Pam, thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio today.
Thanks so much, Carl. Keep up the great work, my dear.
Oh, thank you. And we'll have you back on soon, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. And we'll have another great episode for you tomorrow, I promise. So tune in then.
This is...